Start this meeting with a call to order and a roll call, starting with the secretary.
Patty Heft here.
David Jordan here.
Testing, Councilman Vince Della Rosa.
Chairman Ed Delgado.
Tina's here.
Brandon Stevens here.
And Paul and Melinda, they're just getting back from Mast, and they'll be here. I know Melinda will be here shortly.
About 11, she said. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Paul? And Greg? Oh, okay. With the opening, we'll just take a moment of silence to acknowledge our Creator and his or her dues. Yanko, approval of the agenda?
Mr. Chairman, before we get into that, could we start with the two recognitions for years of service with employment? Geraldine Danforth, the HR director, will kick this off.
Okay, Geraldine.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Real close.
I'm close. Okay. We're here to recognize our employees for their years of service and dedication to the organization. We have four employees that we're recognizing. The first one is Karen Cruz for 25 years, Erwin Jordan for 25 years, Lori Thomas for 25, and Scott Cottrell. Unfortunately, they all couldn't be here today, but we will be recognizing one employee. But I always like to talk about what happened 25 years ago in the organization. So 25 years ago, the new Lucky You convenience store opened on 29. 25 years ago, the first $500,000 winner in the Oneida Lotto jackpot comes forward after mysteriously disappearing for a week. So that's something that happened 25 years ago. So if I could, I'd like to introduce Erwin Jordan and his supervisor, Owen Summers, and to recognize him for 25 years of service.
This mic is working, so are you talking
here? Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, when you get close to it.
And if you look forward at us, Owen, we're videotaping, so you can, the audience will see you in the monitors.
Will this be on TV tonight?
Yes. So talk right into the microphone.
Thank you for recognizing us today. I'm Owen Summers. I'm the security director for the United Nations. This here is Erwin Jordan. He's one of our outside security officers. Been with us for 25 years. I'll just read for what I wrote in recognizing her, and then he'll be given a copy of this recognition. It is with great pleasure that the Internal Security Department recognized Officer Erwin Jordan for his 25 years of dedication and commitment to the health and welfare of customers and employees who frequent the United Nations casinos. Erwin began his employment with the Security Department in 1989. Has personally contributed to the successful growth of gaming within the organization. The success of the United Nations in the past 25 years is truly in part due to employees such as Erwin who contribute daily to the nation's success. Congratulations for a job well done. This is Erwin Jordan. He's kind of shy.
Shake his hand.
Thank you.
Thank you to the business committee for giving us this opportunity.
Okay, we'll go to the next step with the approval of the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, we have four additions for open session and one for executive session. We'll deal with those when we get to the end of the agenda. Mm-hmm. let's see, the first edition is a travel request from Tina Danforth to the We Win Conference, August 17th through the 20th in Las Vegas. Second is regarding the judiciary, the number of seats for election in 2014. Number three is a travel request to National Indian Gaming Association annual meeting in May in San Diego. The fourth is a travel request to the National Indian Gaming Association Executive Committee meeting on April 1 in Prior Lake, Minnesota. The addition in executive session is the Oneida Seven Generation Corporation Agent Report.
Who are the travel requests from?
The travel request for NIGA is from the chairman. And then the other NIGA request is from Councilman Stevens.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve the agenda with the noted changes and additions.
We have a motion by Vince Dellarosa to approve the agenda with the noted additions.
Support.
Supported by David Jordan. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next on the agenda, oaths of office, Arthur Cornelius, Oneida Nation Veterans Affairs Committee. Minutes to be approved. The March 12, 2014 regular meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Support. David Jordan, seconded by Vince Dellarosa. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. The March 19th and 20th, 2014 emergency meeting minutes.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. David Jordan.
Support, Mr. Chairman.
Support. Vince Dellarosa. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Resolutions. The 2014 Intertribal Buffalo Council Herd Development Grant. Joni Buckley. You're here on behalf of Joni?
Sir, Don Miller, Grants Department.
Okay, great.
The purpose of the grant is in the last year, the buffalo herd has expanded by 37%, which makes it necessary for us to ask for funds from the ITBC in order to expand the pasturage available. The grant is more competitive this year. They require a resolution. There is no match required, although we do make some kind of contribution.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the 2014 Intertribal Buffalo Council Herd Development Grant. David Jordan, seconded by Brandon Stevens. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you. Reports, Comprehensive Health Division, Dr. Veer and Deborah Danforth.
Good morning. You have the quarterly report, and we're just going to highlight a few of the items contained within the report. I think the most important thing that we want to emphasize initially is the fact that we, as the division, have completed our strategic plan for 2013 to 2016. Those changes resulted in four specific areas of focus: improve access to care across the division, continuous quality improvement, optimize technology, and enhance our workforce. Our initiatives increased to three initiatives for the next 3 years, which include accreditation, advancing technology, and optimized staffing processes. The optimized staffing processes, we are working collaboratively with HRD to look at the division process in terms of recruitment, hiring, retention, and then hopefully we'll be able to come up with some recommendations that we can bring back to the committee that perhaps could be utilized throughout the entire organization. So we are meeting collaboratively with HR, and we have a team that has been developed that will be meeting on a regular basis. In terms of the first initiative, improve access to care across the health division, the initiative there is optimizing staffing processes and accreditation. The highlight that I wanted to mention in this particular area is in relation to the Anna John Resident-Centered Care Community. The AGRCCC recently received a 5-star rating by the Center for Medicaid and Medicare, which is CMS. This was listed in the U.S. News and World Report as one of the top 100 nursing homes in the country. So I think it's important that we acknowledge that the 5-star rating is particularly based upon the quality of care that's provided to our residents, and the staff are to be commended for the quality of care that is provided to those residents and the hard work that they put into taking care of those residents within our facility. We are continuing to work on the VA certification with the Veterans Office. We have followed up with Carrie Metoxin through the Vets Office, and we are coordinating a conference call within the next month to follow up and see where the status is on our certification. When we initially had the tour from the VA out of Milwaukee, they did indicate that it would be anywhere from 8 to 10 months for us to actually move forward with the certification process for the VA for the facility. One other note is that we are continuing to move forward with trying to secure staffing for occupational therapy and speech, which is critical to our ability to provide the level of care that's needed that many of our community members need from hospital discharge. Basically, at this point, we are only able to provide physical therapy services, and many of the orders on hospital discharge for individuals that perhaps have had strokes or, you know, have had major surgeries, anything like that, the normal process in terms of doctor's orders includes physical therapy, speech, and occupational therapy. Unfortunately, we're not able to provide those two therapies. At this point, we are only able to provide physical therapy. So because of that, there are times when we will not be able to accept admissions to the nursing home based on the fact that we're not able to provide the quality of care that they need, and we're not able to admit them because we can't meet what their basic needs are during that admission. We have had situations where individuals have gone to another facility so that they can receive the occupational therapy and they can receive the speech therapy, and then once those portions of their admission are completed, then they can transfer over to our facility so that we can continue with their physical therapy. So that it is difficult a lot of times for individuals that, you know, want to get into the facility. They see that there's empty beds there, but it is difficult because we have to be able to, by law, be able to meet all the needs of those residents once they come into the facility. We do have a meeting scheduled for next week with an agency that is interested in wanting to contract with us for the provision of occupational and speech therapy in combination with our physical therapy department. So we are moving forward on that aspect. Do you want to talk about technology?
One of our initiatives that has been an ongoing project is optimizing technology. We have implemented the EMR in the medical clinic. We have upgrades that are ongoing. One coming up shortly will be the GE Centricity upgrade to the version 12. We also have another IT initiative related to the ICD-10. That is a CMS mandate. We need to be ICD-10 compliant as of October 1st of this year. So we're actively engaged in that exercise to make sure we meet that deadline. We are in the process of implementing the EMR within the behavioral health environment in a phased-in manner, and we are utilizing our internal resources as well as our consultants from GE to get that accomplished. We do have certain constraints within our IT support system, our vendor support. In order to meet that, we have supplemented some of those resources externally through ZyQuest. However, there's been some turnover in those positions, so we have our internal resources filling those gaps as of now. We will need those additional dedicated resources in the future to make sure that we continue to utilize our technology optimally and have those systems functioning properly. Within the patient management system, we are working on a process to do what is called batch eligibility, so we can look at third-party payers like medical assistants to see what their coverage is as patients come in, so we can get paid for the services that we're providing within our delivery.
Under the continuous quality improvement, our initiatives there are to proceed with accreditation. One highlight for this particular area is that as of last week, we did conduct a patient satisfaction survey within the facility for all services within the facility, and we will have those results for you at our next quarterly update. The results of the patient satisfaction survey will be tallied, the data will be reviewed, and then we will present to our quality assurance committee, and then I will include those results within our next quarterly report. Under our enhanced our workforce, our initiative there is optimizing our staffing processes. Our current number of Comprehensive Health Division employees is at 292, which includes 94 enrolled Oneidas, 1 Asian, 4 Black African American, 167 Caucasian or other, 2 Hispanic Latinos, and 24 American Indian Alaska Natives. And then I do have the positions that just recently were filled or that we are in process of. That is the dental assistant, the LPN for the AGRCCC, which needs we have one more position to offer, and then the CNA positions 3, we need 2 other positions that we're currently in process of offering, and then the pharmacist sub relief. The vacancies are listed there by area of the division. I'm not going to go over all of the details with those. And then we can go into case management. Highlight there is basically that we are continuing to proceed with case management. We are moving forward and just completed a strategic planning process for the implementation of the personal care agency and long-term care. The long-term care strategic plan, we're in the final steps of developing our 90-day implementation steps for our long-term care plan for the division. Do you want to go into the current trends?
We have a question from Councilman De La Rosa.
Well, can you guys hear me at all?
Yes.
So I'm pretty much ready to accept the report. I think you guys did a good job on the report. The only question I really had was about diagnostic and therapeutic modalities. I'm really curious about if you guys could prepare a report about naturopathic medicine. I don't know if you guys can practice that there, if there's prohibitions. I know the medical field, when you look at the Wisconsin Medical College, I see that there's some competitiveness, obviously, between the two for whatever reasons. But I think those modalities that are offered through that, those methodologies are really, I think they're valuable. I think they tie into tribal customs and cultures. And I'm wondering why we don't practice those at the health center at all. Or do we? I don't know.
We do in a limited manner refer our people that to Jen Hankwell, for example, for some of those naturopathic medicines. We don't practice naturopathic medicine as such. None of our providers are qualified or certified to practice those, and that is not something within our credentialing process or within IHS that we're where would be covered with the federal tort to be practicing those specialties. But we do practice some of the we do refer our patients to Jun Hankwa for the remedies that are available for some ailments.
Mr. Chair, I'm really prepared to accept the report. Is that okay with you guys? Okay, so I make a motion to accept the report.
We have a motion to accept the report. Vince De La Rosa, do we have a second?
Second.
Second by David Jordan. Discussion, if you have any questions.
Just for a capacity question, are you at capacity for your beds? And if not, when will you be?
Currently, our census is at 34. And again, it's hard to predict when we will be at 48 based upon the fact that we have to have the services necessary to provide occupational and speech therapy. Once we can get those services on board, then we can move forward. We do accept some short-term stays for rehab, particularly if they don't include orders for speech and occupational.
And you said you were going to contract with somebody for occupational health, or
occupational therapy
full time?
Occupational therapy. We're looking at contracting initially so that we can save the organization cost at this point, because at this point it's uncertain in terms of what the actual number of days, if we have enough to have someone on a full-time basis. What we would initially like to do is bring them in on a contract. That way we're not paying benefits, we're not paying any of the fringe and indirect costs that would be associated with the contract. It'd be a flat rate fee for an occupational therapist.
Aside from the cost, I guess my question is more about having the service. You know, we could talk about, you know, costs for full-time care of or full-time position versus a contract. My concern, if you hire a contract, is there a number of minimum hours? I don't really know how that would play into it. I think it's more important to have the service than rather. I don't know how a contract would work if somebody comes in 3 days a week on contract, or 5 half-days a week, or 7 days a week. I mean, that could be played out many different ways.
Yeah, I think the challenge with staffing with rehabilitative services is the need keeps, there's a lot of variability in the demand of for those services. What most larger systems are doing, and there's some degree of consolidation going on within the long-term care industry as well, where they have employed staff that services three or four different nursing homes. Some of the smaller nursing homes are going into a contracted model because then they can either ramp up or reduce their services for rehab needs based on their census. And our census needs are variable. For example, if we get a patient transferred from the hospital after a stroke and they need rehab services, including speech, occupational, and PT for a certain amount of time, and then those needs may change. So our census is fairly variable. If we went with a static employment model, then we may not be most cost efficient, not knowing what the census is. So what we're trying to do is to come up with that right balance of where we can provide the services and not have a full-time or part-time employee with a certain fixed hours. Once we get to a certain stable census, then we may probably have a better sense of what that staffing model will look like in the long term.
I guess I don't know how you can ever predict a stable census, because we don't know when somebody's going to get sick. We don't know when somebody's going to come out of a hospital. And so I think it should be the other way around, is that we have the service so that we can take them, because we're also supposed to take patients 7 days a week, not just during a work week. And so we really need to have that kind of coverage in the nursing home. And even if we have a patient who's in the nursing home right now that only needs physical therapy, they may progress in an illness where all of a sudden they need occupational health. So we can't predict those kinds of situations. They are going to occur, that we pretty much know. But I think it's better than prepared than rather trying to do the opposite of, well, let's put somebody in contract and call them when we need them. Well, we won't ever know if we need them, because we won't ever have beds filled to know when those kinds of occurrences will happen. And like you said, there are a lot of variables. Sometimes they need PT and occupational, or they need speech, or all three, or a combination of the two, or just the one. So
we
can never predict that.
I agree that what we're trying to do is to come up with a certain minimum amount of hours that we would have covered throughout the week. So that's something that we're going to work in within our contracting process, so we have coverage throughout the week and not be limited by that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Any more questions? We'll vote. All those in favor of approving the report, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next on the agenda is the Land Management Pat Pelkey quarterly report. Morning.
We are here on behalf of Pat, who couldn't be here today. So I'm Nicole Rummel from Land Management, and this is Lori Elm. And the report was, bear with me, it's my first time doing this. So, the report was turned in, and something that actually happened just this week, Monday, OHA has been short-staffed in their administration area recently, and we were able to borrow one of our admin assistants there for up to 6 months, and that happened within a span of a day. So they were really happy over there, and we were happy to help, and it's kind of going along with the combination of Housing Authority, land, and environmental that we cross-train and work together. So that was something that was good that happened this week. Some of the other highlights, we did update our phone system to the four-digit dialing finally, so that was something that's been years in the making. We are working on getting a credit card machine for our customers to be able to pay with a debit or credit card, and we're working with accounting on that. Some of the third quarter goals, we do have three accepted offers that we're going to be closing. Those are on the leased land already. Those are homes that the tribal members own and they're selling back. Continue to work with combining with OHA and environmental. We have the joint meeting tomorrow, Land Commission and BC joint meeting is tomorrow at 2. And that's all I have. If anybody has any questions.
Vince?
I make a motion to accept the report. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
A motion by Vince Della Rosa to accept the report, supported by David Jordan. Discussion?
Just a quick question. I see you sent six people to decolonization training.
Yes.
How is that relevant to the job that they do on a daily basis?
It helps them with dealing, or not dealing with, but working with our tribal members, where they're coming from, how they're feeling, especially with our leasing and the land issues, the individual trust. And yeah. And it was free.
Is it one day?
And it was here. I think it was a whole week, wasn't it? I believe it was a week.
Mm-hmm. A whole week in training.
Yeah.
To help people deal with their feelings.
Okay. There was more to it than that.
I don't know what decolonization
means. I just didn't explain it well.
In relationship to land management, it's trying to make it fit, but okay.
Yeah. There was justification there. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any further questions? All those in favor of the report, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you, Lori and...
I guess I just want to know for the record, I'm going to abstain on my vote, but I think that the report is a good report from a standpoint of letting us know what's happening at land management. Also see that four people went to Wisconsin Dells from land management, which is in addition to nine people who went to the Dells for the same exact training. So we spent whatever amount of time and dollars to send 13 people to the same training, and I just hope it was worthwhile. So thanks.
Thank you. So we do have one abstention, Tina Danforth. Thank you.
Nobody told us. There should have been a procedural exception.
Mm-hmm. Next on the agenda, the Development Division, with Trent Meister.
They've asked the report to be deferred.
Okay. I have a motion to defer, Vince Della Rosa, seconded by, did we have a second? Seconded by David Jordan. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Boards, commissions, and committees, appointments. Recommending that we appoint Bernard John Stevens to the Oneida Police Commission. The reason I recommended him is that he's been working on with the other tribes and with the intent of trying to build some cooperation amongst the tribes to build a facility or provision for to help youth and who get in trouble and to help them out into tribal.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to support your request to appoint Bernard John Stevens to the Police Commission.
Support.
Motion by David Jordan, supported by Vince Della Rosa. Any further discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries. One abstention. Tina Danforth. Next, Marlene Minnie Garvey to the Environmental Resources Board. That's my recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, on your recommendation, we want to approve Minnie Garvey or Marlene Garvey to the Air Board.
A motion by...
And to note that she was the only applicant.
David Jordan. Do we have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Tina Danforth. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Quarterly reports. Oneida Seven Generations Corporation, Gene Colucci, agent. Vince.
There's There's a narrative that's been submitted. I wanted to ask the secretary, are we able to accept this report, or what are the policies state in terms of, because there is a narrative that's been submitted. Are we able to accept this without an agent being here or a representative?
Sure, you can do that if you want.
Yeah, we've had a lot of discussion regarding the corporation. This is a report that I think we need to get into the record, so I make a motion to accept the narrative report.
Motion by Vince Dellarosa to accept the Oneida Seven Generations March 26, 2014 narrative report. Seconded by Seconded by Brandon Stevens. Discussion?
Discussion, please.
Tina.
Well, it's nice to have a report so that we can get a glimpse of what's occurring with the Seven Generations Corporation as an entity. Under financial and physical, it says checking accounts, buildings, other business ventures. I don't know what that means as far as a report item. I do know that from a financial standpoint, there are some questions about the expenses for this entity. And we had a discussion about that this week in executive session. And I continue to raise concerns about any budgeted costs that we, one, that we create a budget around this, two, that we have some parameters around the expenses for this entity and this item, and that, three, that there be some transparency about what's occurring from a financial standpoint. And, you know, of course, I'm the treasurer, so I do have to ask these questions, but even from the simple standpoint is how much money are we budgeting for this entity and to carry out the task that we are now assigned?
Vince? On a related point, the treasurer's points are well taken. I did produce a memo on this subject matter that I'm going to reissue to the committee, probably on the next agenda, to respond affirmatively actually to a couple of the points that the treasurer has outlined, because I think it's a worthy endeavor for us to box in where we're going long term. So I'll have that on the next BC agenda, and hopefully I can get some support from the council members on that matter.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I was just notified that they are on their way. If you wanted to have them present to talk to them, or you can table this or until they arrive.
Maybe we can table this until they arrive. If we can have a public report that's more transparent than just accepting this. So we can just table this issue until they do arrive and go on to the next issue, which is?
We have a motion on the floor to accept it. You need to have
okay.
A motion.
Okay, I can't just table it by myself. Okay. Looking for a motion to table this until...
There's a motion to accept the report.
Okay, we'll vote on the motion to accept the report. I would hope that we allow the corporation to come and present, and because there's a lot of tribal members who want to know. So it's on the... We're getting ready to vote. Vince has something to say.
Yeah, if it's unanimous consent of the council, we can accept the report. And then when they get here, they can respond to any questions, or we can ask questions or whatever also.
Oh, we could. Good resolve. Okay, we're going to vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
I think we'll do a hand count.
Aye.
Abstain.
Support.
Tina?
Abstain.
Support.
Okay, I don't think that's unanimous consent.
Three. It's a majority.
It's a majority. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Just for clarity.
Motion carries. Oh, yeah. No. Those opposed? Oh, never mind. Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Motion carries.
I wasn't calling for unanimous consent on a vote to accept the report. I was calling for unanimous consent that when they appear, that we allow them to answer and respond to any questions that we may have.
So when they come, I'll ask the parliamentarian. Can we allow them now to present their report? Jim?
Yes.
Okay, great. Okay, when they come, we'll allow them. Next on the agenda. Anajon Nursing Home Commission.
Our report was not submitted.
Oh, okay. Do we have a motion regarding the report not submitted? I guess we're looking for deferring this to the next meeting. I'll try and get a report then.
Mr. Chair.
Vince.
To move the process along, I'll make a motion to defer this item for a report for the next meeting.
Okay, Vince De La Rosa, do we have a second?
Support.
Second by Tina Danforth.
David. This,
Tina, oh, kind, okay. Tina kind of beat you.
Okay.
Just, my left ear is pretty good. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Oneida Election Board, Vicki Cornelius. Rocky.
Good morning. I'm here on behalf of the Election Board. I'm the Vice Chairperson.
Motion to accept the report.
Support, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the report by David Jordan, supported by Vince De La Rosa. Discussion? I'd like to hear something.
Well, this is for the quarter from October through December. So we're basically just gearing up and getting ready to submit the information to GTC to approve, and that's what happened at the January meeting, which was actually February.
Okay, I guess we'll vote on it then.
Just one more question. Have you implemented any SOPs for this new elections coming forward?
We haven't had time to, due to cost containment, we have taken upon ourselves to not have those special meetings. So we can do that. I can put that on the agenda for the next meeting and do that as a total group. Okay. So I can, and it would be nice if you could send us something officially with what you're actually requesting.
Okay.
Because it's just basically I'm going in there by hearsay, so I'd rather have something official. Either the LOC or
yep.
through the business committee so that we can implement some different in our SOPs.
Okay, thank you.
Sure, you're welcome.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. Patty, could you read it?
To accept the report.
Okay. We'll vote now. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you, Rocky.
Thank you.
Oneida Police Commission, Bernie Stevens.
They've asked for a deferral.
Okay. Do you want to grant that deferral?
Make a motion to defer the Oneida Police Commission and the Oneida Library Board.
Okay, we have a motion by David Jordan. Discussion? I mean, a second? We have a second?
Support.
Supported by Vince De La Rosa. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? One opposed? David Jordan?
No.
Okay.
I made the motion.
Okay. I know. Oh, that wasn't your hand up. Oh, okay. Okay.
Scratching his head.
Okay. Motion carries. Next on the agenda, Standing Committees, Legislative Operating Committee, the March 5th, 2014 meeting minutes are up for approval. Business Committee?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Motion by Brandon Stevens to approve the minutes.
Support.
Supported by Tina Danforth. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Resolution, emergency amendments to the judiciary law. We have someone from the LRO. Lynn Fitzmeyer.
Good morning. These emergency amendments to the judiciary are being requested to include specific bachelor degree requirements for the chief judge positions in the law.
Lynn,
Sorry.
Closer to the mic.
There was some research done, and it was discovered that there was an inadvertent omission in the judiciary law when it was adopted. for the specific bachelor degree requirements under the chief judge positions in the law. The law requires specific bachelor degree requirements, specific fields of study under the bachelor degrees in the for the non-chief judge positions, but for the chief judge positions, those requirements are not in the law. So when they were preparing during the transition period for the upcoming election, it was discovered that these requirements were not in the law. So they're asking for emergency adoption of the amendments so that we can include those fields of study on for the upcoming election for all the judge positions, not just the non-chief judge positions.
I guess I'll just make a motion to adopt the emergency amendments of the BC resolution to adopt the emergency amendments to the judiciary law.
And a motion by Brandon Stevens. Do we have a second? Seconded by David Jordan. Discussion, Michelle.
Yes, sir.
And then Vince. Go ahead, Michelle.
In regards to the
motion to adopt.
Okay. So the that is really loud. Did you have questions for me in regards to this, or
well, you sat down? I thought you had something.
I was just on the phone, so I'm sorry I'm late.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
So if we don't do this emergency amendment, we could have a situation whereby all the judges on the new court would have a college education on a determined field of study, but we could wind up with a chief judge who does not have any such requirements.
That is correct. What we found was that the list that the General Tribal Council wanted for specific areas of studies was specified under non-chief judges, but for some reason we failed to include it under the non-chief judges. And it was pretty clear that General Tribal Council's intent was that if there was a bachelor's degree, it should be in one of those fields of study. And so because elections are coming up so soon, that is why we're asking for this amendment, because potentially someone could run for chief judge with a bachelor's degree in art history or in art or in zoology, which is not listed here, and they could say, well, you're not eligible, and they could clearly make the argument, if this is not in here, and say, it doesn't specify. It just says I have to have a bachelor's degree and 3 years of experience as a judge. I have that. It doesn't matter what my bachelor's degree is in. So that's the purpose of this emergency amendment.
And eventually, in a year, within 6 months, it would have to go back to GPC.
Right. I believe it was Melinda Danforth's plan to get it going forward so that it would be to GTC in July, I think it was, right? Okay.
Okay.
Right, because this has to be, this is for this current election because this is the first time that these judges would be elected.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Is there further questions?
Mr. Chairman, can we add social work to sociology, put sociology dash or slash social work onto the list of bachelor's degrees. It's under letter I. I think it's just as relevant as journalism, which is on the list, or philosophy, which is on the list.
And sociology and social work are very similar.
But they're not the same.
They're not the same, but they're similar.
So I would like it
right.
to be added.
No, right.
Thank you.
Would that be considered an emergency? We are you're doing emergency legislation. Obviously, there was when we adopted it, that this was an oversight. You know, everything else, everybody else had a college degree requirement in a certain field of study. Didn't cover it under judiciary, but it seems that that would be an emergency. But I don't know about adding sociology. I don't know.
All these other ones are being added. There's like...
But those were all discussed. Yeah,
those
but those
all
were all discussed
at
GTC.
I believe this was discussed as well.
It was discussed and accepted by GTC.
It wasn't
I don't know. I don't see it as an emergency. I don't know the rest of you. We can add it as an amendment to the motion, and it'll be up to the business committee.
We could certainly propose that in July when this is taken to the GTC, so that for the next round of elections, that would be included. But.
And that would be the proper place to add it, would be at the GTC, because they're the ones that already approved.
Yeah, they
already
just
said they weren't
list, yeah.
Put in it under this category, and that's...
So do we have the minutes that reflect that meeting?
At the GTC, I don't...
They have approved minutes? To substantiate that?
I just don't see it as an emergency, that part of it. It's up to the business committee. Tina, I believe, is making a motion for an amendment.
So moved.
So it's up.
Is there a second?
Support.
Supported by Vince Della Rosa. Discussion on the amendment.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's been controversy about the list. We've done our best to frame a list that's reasonable. I don't think the treasurer's request is unreasonable at all. So I use a reasonable test really here. It's not, she's not going so far outside the boundaries to say it's specious to even think that that's reasonable. I think your request is reasonable. I think it's worthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All those in favor of the amendment to add sociology to the list of
social work.
Okay.
As long as it goes to the final approval at the GTC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my only question is just, I think we made the amendments here and we have the list from the General Tribal Council that there is a list that they approved from General mm-hmm. Tribal Council. And it's not on the list. So putting the requirements that should be in there already is what we should do, and then we can propose any new additions that may come up because there may be other ones, and that needs to go to General Tribal Council
That's
first.
What we mean.
This gets adopted in now.
On an emergency basis.
On an emergency
emergency basis. So, it could change
later.
When we finally get the minutes and we finally get back to the final amendment.
So we propose that.
Versus an emergency amendment.
So we propose that in to General Tribal Council in the proper fashion at that point.
But currently it's my understanding that, well, I don't see it as an emergency, adding social work. Maybe the business committee does. It'll be up to the business committee. Patty.
I think for clarification that the emergency amendments today are to add into the law those things that GTC asked us or voted to have in the law, but those things were inadvertently not included in the original law. So the emergency is to make sure that what GTC wanted is in the law. Now, if we want to change what GTC wanted by adding others, that's a different conversation, and that didn't get vetted through the LOC process. I think if you want to change and add more, take it back through the LOC process, but then that will delay the process. So I think going forward, bring it to GTC as the councilman and the chairman are recommending is my position.
So on the amendment, you don't support?
No, I don't. It's
that's a statement.
Yeah, it's a
so
petty
we'll vote now.
Kind of thing.
All those in favor of the amendment to add social work as one of the qualifications for chief judge, and I guess all the positions, right?
I believe the amendment is specific to the chief judicial officer. Section of the policy or law.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion to table until Councilwoman Melinda Danforth arrives so that she can explain what occurred in order to get us to this point. She should be here at 11. She's also got to talk to us about another judiciary action that we need to consider. And so then she can educate us about the process that she, through the LOC process, went through. So I'm motion to table.
And I believe a motion to table takes precedence.
There's got to be a second, though.
Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by David Jordan. All those in favor of tabling this item, the amendment, and, of course, the motion until...
The councilwoman arrives.
Councilwoman Melinda Danforth arrives. Please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed. Opposed.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
We'll do a hand count.
Mr. Chairman, yeah, call for the question.
We'll do a hand count.
I said yes.
Yes.
Opposed. Opposed.
Yes. 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 Opposed. Opposed.
Opposed.
Opposed.
So it fails. So we fails. That
motion
takes us to
table
vote.
Fails. Vince.
I want to make a statement on that. The Secretary had suggested that we need to be educated on what's going on here. I've been involved in these legislative processes and at the GTC meeting. I don't need an education on what's going on here. We've been elected to use reasonable standards of thought process as it relates to legislation that we're adopting. This is a simple request. It's not very complicated. It's not far outside the boundaries of what we're doing anyway. This is not an unreasonable request by the Treasurer.
Okay.
Call for the question, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we are going to vote on the amendment. Patty, could you read the amendment?
The vote, the motion was by Brandon Stevens, seconded by David Jordan. On the amendment. Motion by Tina Danforth, seconded by Vince De La Rosa to add social work.
Not sociology anymore?
No, it was / social work on letter I. Letter I reads sociology, and I would like to add / social work.
Okay, we're going to vote on the amendment. And I think we'll do a hand count again because I think it's going to be close. You support the amendment, Patty?
No.
David?
Abstain.
Vince?
Mr. Chair, support.
Support.
Oppose.
I do believe we
have a tie.
And I'm going to, I don't support the amendment. It's not an emergency. It's not part of what was introduced to General Tribal Council in any way when they passed the judiciary.
Do you have the minutes to reflect that?
I would suggest it would go back to the LOC, but
that'll take us to the
amendment.
Main.
This amendment has failed. We'll vote on the main motion. Patty, could you read the main motion?
Motion was by Brandon Stevens, seconded by David Jordan to adopt the emergency amendments.
All those in favor, we'll do a hand count again. Patty?
Yes.
Yes.
Support.
Oppose.
Support.
Okay, motion carries 4-4 and 1 against.
Mr. Chairman, I oppose because in the legal summary or statement of fact, it says that the error was made aware by the judicial transition team. And it doesn't say it was made by anyone else, that the error was found at that point. And I also oppose because I think, you know, we have to live with what we've done. And if we didn't catch it then, catching it now at the last hour doesn't help the process. And the other thing I'm opposing is because I have asked several times for minutes to be ratified, to be submitted to this body so that when we make decisions, we have the minutes to fall back on. And we continually have General Tribal Council meeting minutes provided very late in the season, in the year, in the month. And this is the reason why we need minutes, not action reports, minutes. So thank you. That's my statement for the record.
Thank you, Dean. Brandon?
You know, we wouldn't even have to have the discussion because I could read the minutes and say, okay, that's what was that.
Or if you
thank
would.
You. Yeah.
And for the record, because maybe we don't have the minutes, because this was not the topic of discussion today, we could not make a decision on that either way. So I think that's why we need to stay forward and with the requests forward and not to add any additional requests onto it because they weren't vetted, because the minutes weren't available.
And Mr. Chairman?
For the record, Patty.
Yeah. This process is vetted through the LOC process, and it's probably highly unlikely that anybody else attended those meetings except for the five people who are on the LOC. So for persons who criticize the process, it's most likely because they didn't attend the process.
Nobody's criticizing the process. We're asking for backup.
Okay. For the record, statements have been made. Next on the agenda is the resolution extension of cemetery law emergency amendments. LRO?
You both are.
Let's go on with the agenda in a good way, please.
This is a request to extend emergency amendments to the cemetery law based on a request from the enrollment department. The main amendments to the law are to allow all lineal descendants of tribal members to be buried in the tribal cemetery, to lessen the restrictions on who can purchase plots in the tribal cemeteries, and also to put some parameters around how plots can be resold to the tribe. There were some concerns from the enrollment department that if someone was buying a plot for a child who wasn't a parent, then the parent would turn around and sell it back to the tribe, and that wasn't really the intent of the original purchaser of the plot. These emergency amendments were first approved by the BC in October, so they expire in April, and we are working on submitting permanent amendments to a public meeting sometime within the next month to the LOC.
Okay, do we have a motion supporting the extension, the resolution entitled Extension of the Cemetery Law Emergency Amendments?
So moved.
So moved by David Jordan. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Brandon Stevens. Discussion. Looks like we're ready to vote. This will extend that emergency amendment for 6 more months. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries. 1 abstention. Tina Danforth. Okay. Thank you. We have Sagestone Management who represents 7 generations. We agreed that when they come back, they would provide their report. Yeah, I know. You don't need to read the whole thing. It's just a summary, because we are videotaped and we'd like our community to also know, you know, some of the things contained in the report.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning. Council. Have a seat.
Good morning.
For those unfamiliar, this is Gene Colucci, who is acting as agent for 7 Generations Corporation. This is Steve Collins, right?
Do I have correct?
Who is an assistant to Gene Colucci, and this is Amy
Becky
Demet. Okay, who is the staff who carries on the day-to-day initiatives or duties of 7 Generations. Okay, go ahead, Gene.
First of all, Mr. Chairman, we've submitted a written summary of the activities that are normally addressed at these gatherings. And what I thought I would do is just briefly go down through that, touch on those points, and then respond to whatever questions or inquiries the committee may have. I believe it is a matter of record, and certainly you are familiar with the fact that on December 24th, the United Business Committee held a special meeting to modify the charter of 7 Generations Corporation to limit its activities to commercial leasing, and also made a provision to appoint a managing agent to manage the affairs of the corporation, and that subsequent to that, Sagestone, of which I'm a sole owner and chairman and chief executive officer, was appointed to provide the services of the managing agent. And we have, under that appointment, there were really 3 initial activities that were crucial to both stabilize the situation and understand what the various alternatives are in order to carry out the matters of the General Counsel's direction to dissolve the corporation. And under the procedures of the business committee and your charter, that really requires an orderly process of dissolution to protect the assets and to ensure that the tribe's interests are addressed in a way that is not financially damaging to the tribe itself. So we have reviewed those documents, those proceedings, the structure, the portfolio of assets that are under the management of Seven Generations Corporation, and are in the process of developing recommendations as to the best way to proceed to preserve the value of those assets and carry out the purpose of the General Tribal Council's instruction to dissolve the corporation or restructure it. And that's exactly how we have been engaged, and that's the process that we're involved in today. And I think there's just a brief description of the corporation itself in this one-page description, which really explains that the corporation itself has two employees that are actively managing the commercial portfolio of some 30 properties that are being leased to tenants and or are jointly owned in joint ventures, and that the goals of the corporation are really to preserve and continue that ongoing operation, and in the framework of the dissolution, consider the best way to organize, to continue to manage those assets and address the needs of your tenants. And interestingly enough, you have two major tenants here that are a large portion of that portfolio. You've got Bell and Health Services and Snyder Trucking, which are really anchor tenants in the portfolio itself. And we're continuing to work with them to see what their ongoing needs are, because they are very pleased with their enterprise that they have here with you at Oneida, and they actually have plans for potentially expanding or extending that relationship. So we've been actively working with them as a part of coming up with the correct recommendations to preserve your existing asset, dissolve Seven Gens, and proceed with its mandate to really continue in the commercial leasing activities of that entity. And I believe that is pretty much an overview of what is in this one-page descriptor. And I would now, let me continue on. I think it's well known in the press and in various other sources that Seven Gens is a defendant in some legal actions related to the business of the enterprise, and that the tribe and Seven Gens are taking the appropriate defensive actions to preserve the interest of the tribe and of Seven Gens, and that because of that litigation, we are not able to go in great detail into the business operations or current activities. So I think that is where we discover ourselves today, and that's kind of a brief summary of where we are.
Thank you, Mr. Colucci. Any questions?
My questions earlier were about budget, that the committee needs to define a budget for this entity, and with that budget, there needs to be some items to be addressed so that we can continue to supervise this entity in the absence of a board in place. And the budget items that are of concern are what is the amount that we have set aside for consultants, litigation, legal, personnel, business expense, and tax obligations. That's just a very short list of what's necessary for this entity. I'm sure there are other costs related. And I think from a fiscal standpoint, it's important that we have a determination of a budget and the needs of the Seven Gens entity at the business committee, like I said, is responsible for that in the absence of a board in place. And I don't know that these things were expected nor written into the agreement for the agent. So I think that's on us as a committee. And that was my question earlier. So thank you.
Thank you, Tina. Any further questions? Okay, I would like to make a statement that in this morning's Press Gazette, there was a statement saying that your corporation was brought on to stabilize the relationship between Seven Generations and the General Tribal Council. I spoke with our public relations department, who was authorized to make a statement regarding Seven Generations, but they did not make that statement. So our public relations department is currently dealing with speaking with the Press Gazette on correcting that, because the corporation, Gene Colucci's company, was not brought on to stabilize any relationship between Seven Generations and the General Tribal Council. It was brought on to carry out the directive of General Tribal Council in a financially responsible manner. So thank you for your report, Business Committee. Oh, we've already accepted. Okay. We've already accepted the report. We just wanted the public statement by you so our membership can get to know you. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chairman.
Do you want to accept the verbal report? Okay. Make a motion. Vince wants to make a motion to accept
the...
No?
The Secretary suggested that.
Oh.
I've made a motion to accept the report.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
We like your verbal report. Thank you.
Thank you.
The way I like it. Vince.
I would note that we will be following up with membership when we meet with them in a GTC forum to talk a little bit more, but obviously right now we're under some constraints.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the Finance Committee meeting minutes of March 21st, 2014. Motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Support. Motion to approve, David Jordan, supported by Vince De La Rosa. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
Takes us down to new business, Mr. Mm-hmm. Chairman.
New business. Approved Department of Transportation and Department of Transportation Highway Policies.
Is there no report for the Community Development Planning Committee, nor a report for Quality of Life, which is on the agenda?
Right. Those are just the headers. There are no
items underneath.
Okay. Department of Transportation. Geraldine?
Good morning.
Good morning.
What I submitted is two documents that need approval. These documents for the Department of Transportation were modified with the approval of the drug and alcohol-free workplace policy. This had to get in alignment with that new policy. The problem that we're running into is that normally the general manager signed off on this document, so we're kind of looking for approval of these documents from the committee.
Mr. Chairman, motion to approve.
Okay, one at a time or both?
The first one.
Okay, the first one entitled Department of Transportation Highway Substance Abuse Policy.
Oh, I meant both, I'm sorry.
Both?
Yes.
Okay, motion to approve both policies made by David Jordan. Do we have a second?
Support.
Support Vince De La Rosa. Discussion?
The only question I have is, would there be a need for a financial statement to go along with this change? Is there going to be a financial impact to the tribe?
I don't. We already did the financial impact statement for the whole drug and alcohol-free workplace policy.
Okay. So that would fall under the same category.
I think it'd be pretty close.
Yeah. All right. Thanks. I was just checking.
Okay, we're going to vote. All those in favor of accepting both policies, Department of Transportation and DOT Highway Policies, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you.
Just as an FYI, I'm the liaison for the DOT also, so if there's anything like this has to come forward again, you can use my office to vet it through.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, next on the agenda are the 2014 Employment Compensation and Benefits as presented by HRD Manager Geraldine Danforth.
This is our first group of jobs that have gone through the vetting process. We're still working through a few kinks here and there, but for the most part, it's going pretty good. You'll see on the pages that of all the signatures for each of the positions and all of the justification that the departments have submitted. There's a lot of really good discussion on these positions, a lot of good questions asked. It was asked earlier whether or not these are part of the minimum staffing levels for gaming, and they are, and they will be monitored along with that. So the first one, I do have a correction to it, though. We are requesting 5 full-time for the table games and not 6 full-time, 4 half-time, and 1 part-time. That's a typing error. So the first one is for 5 full-time casino dealers.
5 full-time
casino dealers.
Half-time?
5 full-time casino dealers.
Okay, and not the half-time, 1 half-time and 1 part-time? You're taking those off?
Yes.
Okay, what is the wish of the committee?
I'll make that motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Brandon Stevens. Do we have a second? Support. Supported by Vince De La Rosa. Discussion?
I guess discussion under the new procedures that we're going under, that this goes through a committee, a subcommittee that vets these out, whether or not they're feasible, essential, and budgeted, all those, so under that consideration.
Okay, are we ready to vote? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next, the Gaming Division time and attendance approved posting and filling the time and attendance specialist position. Geraldine?
Not a whole lot I can add on this one. This was one of those that didn't pass originally by 100%. We took a vote by majority. So this one was approved to go through 4-3.
What is the wish of the committee?
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve, Tina Danforth.
Support.
Supported by Vince De La Rosa. Discussion. I guess we'll vote. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next, Gaming Division Food and Beverage approved posting and filling the bartender positions, 2 full-time, 2 part-time.
If I could go back, I did miss one thing on the time and attendance. One of the recommendations was that the team consider putting together the time and attendance in the payroll department. Now, this is one of those recommendations that we can bring forward to you. Whether or not you agree with it, whether we should move forward with it, or I'm not sure how we really should be handling those recommendations, because it would be considered a reorg.
I think that needs to be dealt with separately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we would come back with a recommendation with justification, kind of vet that whole process as well. Okay.
So you won't post that until that recommendation is clarified?
No, we need the position right now, because this will probably take a while.
Okay.
So we will move forward with that.
Okay. Okay.
So now we're on the bartender, 2 full-time and 2 part-time.
I have a question on this one. Is it possible to go with all 4 full-time? Save on the benefits part of it, and a lot of times a bartender would be a part-time job anyway. Is that possible?
I would
on the spot, huh?
Yeah.
we definitely could attempt to do that. I think what happens is that as soon as we get a part-time in there, they transfer into that full-time position in another department. So that's what we're seeing happen. But it's something that we could definitely attempt to do again because we've done it in the past.
So what are we voting on? Is there a motion on the floor?
Part-time.
Two full-time, two part-time.
Two full-time, two part-time.
That is the current request,
That's the
correct.
Recommendation coming from HRD.
Yes, from the that's a recommendation coming from the senior team.
I asked if there was.
Okay.
Motion to
approve the request. Support. Two full-time, two part-time bartenders. Motion made by Tina Danforth, supported by Vince De La Rosa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Next, gaming division, food and beverage, approve posting and filling the server positions, 6 full-time, 1 half-time, and 1 part-time.
The senior review team has fully supported this position moving forward.
Motion to approve these positions.
Motion by David Jordan to approve.
Second.
Second by Brandon Stevens. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Human Resource Department approve to implement the student intern program 25-30 student interns for the summer months.
The team has supported this one. The signature sheet should be coming to you and Danielle for this. The team has supported this recommendation to move forward with the student interns.
Vince.
I wanted to ask about that. The intern program, it's my understanding that obviously one of the main thrusts for a student intern is to get the credits.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we're offering pay. It's my understanding that under this program, we would be paying out about $92,000. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wondering, is this a point in time where we have to suspend that? Even though I love using student interns, we've used them occasionally up here.
Mm-hmm.
Is this the time to suspend that program right now, given cost containment and where we're at and the juggers that we may need to do with the budget over the next couple months?
Yeah, we talked about that, and you know, we also got support from Larry on this. There are very little costs besides their wages. Of course, there's taxes and workers' comp and those things. But during this time where the departments are not filling their positions permanently or holding off 120 days or 90 days, that they're able to fill these positions with the student interns.
Brandon.
I guess I got a real brief example. Rosa Francor was my intern last year for the committee, and I let her experience a lot of things that happen up here. This year, she works for the Pulaski School District in the YES program, and she coordinated almost 500 Pulaski school districts with the support of the superintendent and the principal of that whole district over there. Almost 500 staff, faculty came here and visited the reservation all throughout the day and got educated on the tribal aspects. And she coordinated that. And that is far more worth that garnering that relationship with that school district, meaning that they'll provide better curriculum for our students, better services to our students, more education as far as their needs and understanding of our community as well, not only students but our government. That, to me, is far more than $92,000. That's something that will come on five generations to come, that garnering that kind of support, investment, and hopefully something like that will spread among the other districts and seeing that. So I think this is a vital program that we provide. It goes for credits. It also goes for experience. And Rosa is one of those students that took that and ran with it and created far something more than any of us could do up here. And she did that all on her own. And so I support this program wholeheartedly.
I have a question. Is how do our offices inquire about getting an intern for the summer?
You can let HRD know that you need a student intern, and if you're looking for a specific field that somebody is in, say it's political science you're looking for, then you can let us know that that's what you're looking for, and we can try to match somebody up for you.
Do we have a motion, Patty?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve the student intern positions. Brandon Stevens, do we have a second?
Second, but I would like to be stated that it's for 25 students, not for a range.
Okay.
It's not my motion. My motion is
to approve
the 25 to 30 student interns. There's a lot of things happen within.
It helps if you clarify when you make your motion, so we don't have to assume.
Okay, well, up to 30.
Up to 30.
Up to 30.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Seconded by Patty Heft. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you. Next is the Gaming Division Facilities approved posting and filling the maintenance carpenter helper position.
This position was approved by the senior team to move forward with an internal posting.
Business committee?
Can you elaborate why in-house? In-house postings? They just wouldn't want this to be like a promotional reassignment.
They're requesting an internal posting so that we're not adding to the employment levels of the tribe, and there are individuals within that department that are eligible and qualified for that position. So they want to do it internally so that they give everybody in that department a fair chance at the position.
So then when that person moves up to this position, they're not replacing the other position? Where that person comes from?
I do not know. It depends on what positions made available.
And the pay for this one is higher than what they get? It's basically what I'm asking is, are they trying to give themselves a raise by giving them a new position? That's what I'm looking at.
No. No. I wouldn't make that assumption.
Everybody's being really strategic on how to get raises around here, and that would be one of the ways to get one is to reassign them to a different position to give them a raise, and that's what my concern is.
There's no discussion on how or who that's going to be. It's just going to be in posting internally so that
posting.
They would all get the same chance.
So there isn't anybody specific in mind to move up into this?
It has to be posted.
Good question, David.
And I guess I don't know what we're looking at from the outside, the ones that are looking for work on the outside that want to get into there and get a job. I mean, I think it's fair if you open it up to everybody, because if we just leave it with inside the department, it seems like we had this issue a while ago that came up to, it was a big issue.
Yeah.
It can be posted external. I mean, it's whatever your desire is. Either way, I mean, just so it's filled.
Because it still gives everybody that works in the department an opportunity to apply for it, but I'm just, to be fair, I would rather see it posted externally.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So
definitely.
I'll make a motion to approve as long as it's posted externally to everybody.
We have a motion by David Jordan. Support. Supported by Vince Delarosa. Discussion? Brandon?
Yeah, I guess I'm not in total disagreement of posting externally. I just think that when you display it, it's kind of like shifting the dime somewhere else and leaving an opening somewhere else. But then for me, it gives a chance for that department that losing that employee to decide whether that position is essential, and we can say that they might not need that anymore. So I think that, I'm not saying that's going to happen either. But
well, they could also come back and ask for it to fill that position again, too.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
It's never going to end.
Posting externally doesn't allow that to happen, though, to even be considered. Well, I'm just throwing some ideas out there.
Okay. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries, one abstention.
And the only reason I state that is it's not a grant-funded position, so it's tribal contribution. So that's why I say it should be fairly posted.
Motion carries, one abstention, Tina Danforth. Next, gaming division, accounting, approved posting and filling the accounting assistant position.
This one was reviewed by the team and is supported to move forward. For the accounting assistant, Chad can probably tell you a little bit more about what that assistant does.
I just don't want the perception that it's an administrative assistant. This accounting assistant actually does a revenue audit on a daily basis, and the revenue audit is regulatory, as that's what we have to report to the state. So,
Vince, do you have analysts that can do the revenue audits? I heard you guys have a lot of analysts. I'm not sure.
We have two analysts for the whole gaming division.
Okay, so they're not equipped.
They have other regulatory requirements that they have to do.
Okay.
What is the desire of the committee?
Motion to support.
Motion to support. David Brandon Stevens.
Support.
Supported by Vince De La Rosa. Discussion. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Travel reports, none. Travel requests. We have a travel request for...
Mr. Chairman, we're in the addition section. So all of these are additions. The first addition is from Treasurer Tina Danforth to travel to the WeWin Conference, August 17th through the 20th in Las Vegas.
Vince.
Mr. Chair, I make a motion to approve the request of the Treasurer.
We have a motion by Vince De La Rosa to approve the request. Do we have a second?
Second with discussion.
Mr. Chairman, my request is to attend the WeWin conference in August, and of course it's contingent upon re-election. The other thing is in purposes for planning to get a better fare rate, and to assure that there's availability, I could get a very cheap rate on Allegiant. I think it's $79 one way. But the other thing is I've been asked to present on governance. I've done some presentations for budgets for WeWin in the past. I met with Chairwoman Melanie Benjamin last week when I was at RES, and she has asked if I would provide this workshop opportunity for WeWin. I will be seeking a waiver for the conference fee, and so that's my request. I would like to plan accordingly. The other reason it's here is because they need to print their agenda, and a part of the agenda would include my presentation on governance. So I think it would be timely to do it for all of those reasons now versus later.
What is the wish of the committee? We have a motion. We have a second. Any further discussion? Okay, we will vote now. All those in favor of the request, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries. I believe we have one against
three,
and one abstention. Okay. Next on the agenda is...
It was the judiciary item, but Melinda Danforth wanted to be here to explain that.
We'll hold off on that.
Okay.
Next is a request from myself. I contacted, the request was for either the chair or the vice chair to go to San Diego for the NIGA conference. I called Greg this morning, and he wishes to attend, so this is on behalf of Greg Mattson, the vice chair. I believe either the chair or the vice chair should be at least one of the people going, and this is also Vanda Stevens is also requesting to go.
Mr. Chair.
Vince.
So I make a motion to approve Councilman Stevens and Vice Chairman Mattson to attend a NIGA event.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Tina. I was thinking about it, but, you know, everything's a contention when I ask, so I'll just pass for now.
I could put you in the motion.
All right, then.
Mr. Chair, just for clarity, there's no reason that we can have, you know, three, I forget what the numbers are, but we'll ask for the, it'd be for Councilman Stevens, Vice Chairman Mattson, and Treasurer Tina Danforth.
Okay, that's your motion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Tina Danforth. Discussion. Okay, I guess we're ready to vote.
The only concern I have is that when NIGA comes up, it seems like it's the same ones going all the time, and I'm wondering what we're getting back from this, from the tribe, is my only question. And I know if we send one, that would be legit, but to send three, I just don't think I can support three. Not at this time, which we're doing cost containment. Because I don't know what we're bringing back from NIGA, and I know we need to have a delegate there usually, but to send three, at this time, I'm not going to support this.
Okay. We do bring back, there's two main conferences after going to them for all these years. There's two of them that provide the most information, the most, really great conferences. In Indian country, they're widely recognized, and that's NCAI and NIGA. So that's why in my recommendation, either the chair or vice chair would attend at the very least. I know Brandon goes there, and he's recognized throughout those areas. I've seen him in action over there, and he knows everybody. I've seen Tina there too, and she knows a lot of people also. So I do believe they bring something back, but I also believe we are in cost constraints, and we need to consider that. So this is a motion, and we'll see how you go. Vince.
I would note, too, that, you know, gaming's a $27-plus billion industry for tribes. It's one of our key industry matrix in terms of economies for our communities. Understand Councilman Jordan's point. I don't have any issues with the vice chairman, Councilman Stevens, or the treasurer. I think they're fine representatives of the tribe, and I'm okay with their attendance at this meeting.
And then to take note, we also send people from the Gaming Commission and also gaming, so it's going to be a lot more than just three going, and there's going to be a lot more than on top of that. So I'm still, it's just my opinion, but everybody has one.
I said, for the record, I'm the delegate on the executive committee for the NIGA Executive Board, nominated and elected by the 33 tribes of the Midwest.
Mr. Chairman, I think that this opportunity around gaming is important. We've had some discussions about internet gaming. There's other relevant marketing issues that need to be, we need to stay on top of. I still have concerns about the continuation of the market that we share. And iGaming, I think we've gotten some reports, but I think more important from the regulatory side is what I'm concerned about for gaming. As well as, you know, slot development, we have opportunities to meet with some of the vendors to get better pricing. That's why we send people from gaming. And I think it's more so from a regulatory standpoint that it's important to attend. And I do generally have other meetings. If I'm at an opportunity where there's a large contingency, I will schedule meetings in the evenings to address other issues relevant to the tribe. And I think from a financial standpoint, it's worthwhile from that standpoint.
Vince.
I would also add, too, which is worth noting, if you do some research, industry sources are indicating that when iGaming breaks, that could have a 25% impact, possibly higher, on bricks and mortar casinos, including the Oneida Casino. So we have to stay engaged here because our market shares are at risk here. So
hey, we'll vote no. We have a motion.
And I realize all that too, but it's just the fact that I wanted to go when I was in this term, and I have never got to go yet because I'm liaison for the Gaming Commission, and that's regulatory. But I just chose not to because of how many people are going, and I just taken note that cost containment is more important right at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Okay, the motion is to approve Vice Chairman Greg Mattson, the Treasurer Tina Danforth, and Councilman Brandon Stevens to attend the NAGA conference. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Opposed.
I believe it's 3-2.
Yes.
3-2. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'm opposing because I feel that one person should be going from the business committee. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Vince. I'm supporting because there's so many breakout sessions there. One person can't possibly cover all the activities that are going on simultaneously in different breakout sessions throughout the event. So I support us having a strong presence at that event.
Okay, we'll go on to the next.
The next one is a travel request from Councilman Brandon Stevens to the NIGA Executive Committee, April 1 in Prior Lake, Minnesota.
I'm asking for just travel expenses as gas and per diem in an amount of $236.50. NIGA, this is the Executive Committee member that'll be the segue to the big meeting in San Diego, and as it stands, there's a lot of issues with the Midwest as far as off-reservation gaming, internet gaming, and the tavern leagues. And those would be the big topics of discussion and actually will count to millions of dollars in loss in revenue if we don't do some of these, engage in some of these discussions.
Vince. Motion to approve Councilman Stevens' attendance at this event.
Second.
We have a motion to approve by Vince De La Rosa, second by Patty Heft. Discussion? I have a question.
And also I would like to include the chairman in the travel because there's two things where I can represent the 33 tribes of the Midwest, and then it's difficult in that position to represent Oneida's interests as well. And having the chairman there will also represent the tribe's interests in some of those issues that we need direct discussions with.
We just take a separate motion for the chairman's travel.
Okay. This is just for Brandon now. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries. Now, I'm requesting to attend that also because of...
Mr. Chair. So a motion to include the chairman based on the description that Councilman Stevens gave in terms of having the tribal interests represented there while he serves in another capacity. So motion to approve the chairman's attendance at that event.
Second.
Motion made by Vince De La Rosa, seconded by Brandon Stevens. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries. Thank you. One abstention, but David Jordan.
That takes us into executive session, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Executive session items. With the understanding that when
Melinda arrives, we'll take up the...
Okay. Chief Counsel report.
Motion to accept.
Support.
Motion to approve. On these, could you put your name when you make the motion and support? So...
Support Vince De La Rosa.
Patty, have to accept.
Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Gaming General Manager bimonthly report.
Mr. Chairman, I have a handout on that item. It's coming around.
Vince.
So I, you know, we've had discussions on this. I'd make a motion to approve the gaming minimum staffing level request to allow the continuation of daily operations to generate revenue, with the understanding that based on budget, these numbers could be unhinged if necessary.
Support. David Jordan.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Legislative Affairs Monthly Report.
Mr. Chairman, can we get a motion to just accept the report?
Okay, now we're looking for a motion to accept the report.
Makes a motion to accept.
The Gaming General Manager Bi-Monthly Report.
Support, David Jordan.
Motion made, seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Legislative Affairs Monthly Report, Nathan King.
Motion to approve, David Jordan.
Motion to approve.
Support.
Seconded by Vince De La Rosa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Unfinished business. BC Directors review Oneida Personnel Policy Commission legislation.
I think we're going to defer this over to the LOC. I'm not sure if there's any affirmative action here. I know that we were talking about clarifying subject matter jurisdiction and some other policy matters mm-hmm. that we thought need clarifying. So I just motion to send this back to the LRO, LLC, and see if there's some interest in moving on these matters at
motion
a future date.
Vince De La Rosa.
Support.
Supported by Tina Danforth. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. New business requests, business committee follow-up with vendor for prompt billing, submissions, billing, irregularities. Larry Barton, what is the wish of the committee?
Mr. Chair, motion to direct the chairman to follow up with these issues in regards to reconciling, verifying, billing submissions, and that these be attended to timely.
We have a motion
support.
We have a motion. We have a second.
By Vince.
Danforth, Vince De La Rosa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Approved 2014 Bank of America Credit Agreement Renewal and Resolution.
Motion to approve.
We need the resolution. We need the resolution.
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding, based on discussion with the CFO, all this does is just extend the original resolution. Is that correct, Mr. CFO?
Yes. Motion to approve.
Do we motion need to approve.
Statement of effect.
That motion already.
I don't think
you got to second it.
Second.
Okay.
We have a second.
Extending.
Okay, motion for clarification. Motion made by whom?
Does he need a roll call vote on this? Because
by myself.
I'm not sure what the motion is.
We aren't either.
Oh, I thought there was a motion on the table. Okay, that the motion should simply be motion to approve to extend and authorize submission of the letter. You don't need to. I understand from Larry that you don't need a new resolution. He's simply giving you, as FYI, the resolution you've passed already. So,
a clarification: what is that motion?
Just to extend.
To approve and extend.
A motion to extend and authorize sending the renewal request.
Is that the motion you're making, David?
Yes.
We have a second on David's motion. Tina, right?
Yes.
Okay, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Approve non-disclosure agreement from Aquina Wampanoag Gaming Corporation. Vince.
Make a motion to deny the request and delete from the agenda.
Support.
Motion to deny the request and delete from the agenda. Vince De La Rosa, supported by David Jordan. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain.
Abstain.
Motion carries. One abstention, Tina Danforth. Legal opinion requested for Indian Housing Block Grant, Federal Supply Sources. I was requesting a legal opinion on that initiative.
Mr. Chair, a motion to approve your request to seek a legal opinion on this subject matter.
Okay.
Second.
Stella Rosa.
Brandon Stevens.
Second, Brandon Stevens. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Approve LexisNexis Time Matters Maintenance Agreement.
A motion to approve the request from Chief Counsel.
Vince Delarosa.
We're requesting a limited waiver of sovereign immunity on the contract.
Which includes, obviously, a limited waiver of sovereign immunity, sorry.
Okay. We have a motion made by Brandon. Do we have a second? I mean, by Vince. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Tina Danforth. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain?
Abstain.
Motion carries. An abstention, David Jordan. Approve attorney Alinda Locklear special counsel agreement for land claims.
Motion to approve.
Support, Mr. Chair.
Motion to approve. David Jordan seconded. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Thank you.
Executive session.
I ask you if we can go. We do have staff here. I know Councilman Danforth is tied up right now. Can we just go to that subject matter? There's a couple questions that I do have on the family court issue that I think we need to discuss.
Can we take up the OAC, OSGC agent report, and then that'll be your last item? Mr. Chairman, we had the one addition was the OSGC agent report.
Looking for a motion to approve.
Right.
Making that motion, Patty?
No.
No? Who wants to make the motion to approve the report?
The OSGC. I'll make a motion.
Support.
Motion made by Brandon Stevens, seconded by Vince Delarosa. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstain.
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 Motion carries. Two abstentions. Tina Danforth.
David Jordan.
David Jordan.
What about the locker?
Okay. Now we have.
We just approved it.
Okay.
So now we have one last item.
The judiciary.
Caseload issue. Mm-hmm. Good morning. One of the things that we received the 6-month report from Judge Collins on pretty much kind of the status of how things are going down at the family court. One of the things that has been brought to our attention is the caseload he's currently undertaking, and there are some issues that are arising with the number of cases.
Question. Joanne, are we in executive session on this? We're having open discussion. No. So this is a non-executive session item, right? Yeah. Okay. Stay on. Okay.
Okay. Okay, that's fine.
You want to talk now?
I was just going to go over it, but if you guys are good to go with just the questions, that's fine with me.
Yeah, I think we got to delve into the couple questions okay. that I have. So I know we just got this morning, and my knowledge of the subject matter draws my attention to a couple things. One is we're talking about one position being for 6 years and two positions being for 3 years. Is that correct?
Correct.
Now, my question is, which of these positions are going to basically we would be recommending as a replacement for the family judge?
That is one of the ones that we wanted to have. That's why we're bringing this to the business committee, because we want to have that conversation. Okay. I believe that our suggestion would be the 3-year position.
Okay.
But, you know, again, that's why we wanted to have the conversation with the committee.
That's reasonable. I just wanted to ask if you guys had any feedback and what the thought of this body may be. I think that's a reasonable approach. It would be a 3-year, and it's understood as such.
Yeah.
If you guys find it acceptable, be a 3-year.
In addition to what we have?
He's, at this point, he's almost to the point of being overwhelmed with cases, if you look at his report, particularly because of the influx of the Milwaukee County cases that are coming in and the amount of actually new filings by tribal members that are taking place. We're also talking about bringing forth a children's code to handle child welfare matters. He has expressed to us that there's no way, if you add the children's code to this, because he's already overwhelmed, that he would be able to do all of that. He's primarily, my understanding is, using the courtroom every day of the week, and then they have to figure out, based on his schedule, how to schedule the other hearings that are coming into place.
How does this affect the budget of the new judiciary?
This is the reason why we're suggesting this approach, so that there would be no impact to the projected budget. Any other type of approach at this point to just simply add another judge's position would be an impact to the budget. We did speak with the finance office briefly about this and explain the situation, and they saw no issues with us taking this approach.
Mr. Chairman, I have one concern, and that would be it's going to be an elected position? Because right now we had to hire Judge Collins because of the reason that we had before. And I think if we did an election, we're going to be back in the same boat again. I think this position should be hired.
Correct. For clarification, and forgive me if it's not clear in the request, but this is to actually decrease the number of elected positions by one,
that
the business committee then has the opportunity to hire, according to the family court requirements, the other judge's position.
Okay, I didn't see it. We just got this. So that's,
yeah.
I apologize. It is in there to hire. Okay.
Is that you're going to decrease the number of elected positions by one? Are you saying positions or full-time positions?
It would decrease the number of trial judges by one full-time position.
Okay. It's still, because GTC's defined a certain number of judges.
Correct. The number
maintained, but the full-time will be reduced by one.
The number of judges does not change. How the judge is selected changes. It would no longer be elected. It would be appointed by the business committee.
Now that was my next question. Go ahead.
And then I have one more question about the number of judges that we have, knowing that the most caseload is family cases. That is it possible to eliminate two judges that are being elected, and then maybe work into bring one more back if we need to, if the caseload is over the top when we actually get going with this. But for right now, I'm thinking we could eliminate two.
I guess that would be at the discretion of the business committee. We're only recommending one position at this time, but that's open for discussion if you choose to go that way.
Just knowing that most of the caseload is family cases. And the situation that the tribe is in financially, I would recommend going down to eliminating two positions of the elected judges.
Okay. Yeah. And I just conferred with Michelle, and the law does require us to have two trial judges for sure, one for general jurisdiction and one for peacemaking. So the option to actually delegate another position would be available, I think, at this point. Now, the other key thing that I want to make sure that we note is that the adopting resolution does give some latitude to the committee. However, it does require us to make sure that we notice General Tribal Council of any changes at the next earliest convenience, and that would be, if you make the decision today, it would be the July meeting. So we'd have to make sure that we communicate for July.
Vince.
Okay, so I understand what Councilman Jordan is suggesting. My question is, would the family judge be considered a judge of the judiciary?
Yes.
And so my question there lies, because the trial court judges are supposed to be elected under the family law, the judges are appointed. So I'm confused. Does there need to be an amendment then? A further amendment?
No, I think what we did within the family court law is, because GTC said the judiciary comes later, family court needs to happen now.
Uh-huh.
And so what we did in the family court law is said that once the judiciary is up and running, it will become a division of the judiciary. However, the family court law itself will supersede in regards to qualifications and hiring and all those types of things. It simply just becomes a division.
Okay.
I guess I don't know what the financial impact of this is, and generally when we do these things, that's one of the things that is asked, and I would like to table this for that consideration. And I'm not really sure that this is something we can do at this level versus General Tribal Council level, but I think the financial consideration is important given the status of employment freezes, and we have now a whole subcommittee around new hires, and this is a new job creation, so it's even beyond that. So I'm going to motion to table this item for 2 weeks so we can have those considerations.
There's a motion to table. I guess there's no discussion with tabling. Do we have a second?
Support.
Support by Vince De La Rosa. No
discussion on tabled item.
No discussion. All those in favor of tabling this item, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. What's the financial consideration?
The four full-time positions break down to $70,000 each, and at this point we would not make any budget adjustments. We would take the dollars that are currently exist and apply them to the position.
Currently exists where?
The budget is being developed for... Right. No, there's two budgets happening right now. One is the budget for the new judiciary, and that's... And then there's also a transition budget that's taking place at the same time. And then you're right. So there's actually three, and then there's the Appeals Commission's current budget. So the dollars would be coming from the proposed budget.
Which is which? There's, you said there are three. Which of the three?
The judiciary.
And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to eliminate two of the elected judges when we go down this path, because it would be a savings there with the budget.
The other... thing that I forgot to mention that's important about the decision today is that the election board is on a deadline to notice this information, and it needs to go to print. So that was the reason for it to be added on today. So we are under a deadline.
Lisa said that, you know, that this is workable, and the finances agrees that it could be workable. Do you have something to add?
We have not developed a formal impact statement as such. On surface of it, there is an offset against the Appeals Commission budget, as was suggested by Councilman Jordan, but... if we really need to line up the exacting dollar amounts, we can provide that. Noting that I know there's time compression, but we could turn that around in 2 weeks. Or
and Lisa, that's what you're saying. I understand that you're trying to do a line, so this adds up.
Correct. This position, the way that we're proposing it, would actually come into alignment with the judiciary transition. So the dollars being spent on the position are the exact dollars that are currently being spent on the position. All we're talking about is adjusting how the judge is actually selected, an appointment versus an elected position. So everything else remains the same.
Exact dollars.
So just to summarize, so I had a couple questions you guys have responded. We talked about the six-year and the three-year terms. We've identified that the family judge will be under a three-year term, correct? And then I also was asking about essentially the family judge being a part of the judiciary. We've talked about it being a division, so that transition is understood in terms of appointment or elected. I really am supporting Councilman. I wonder if we could speak to that. Councilman Jordan's made an assertion that we could go down to. What are you guys' thoughts about that? We know that the bulk of the work is in the family court area. It's obvious. It's clear. Do you guys think there'd be any impact in going to the councilman's point?
I think the concern is what Lisa spoke to before, is that the General Tribal Council, when they passed the judiciary, they specified two divisions. They took out one, which was the small claims, but they specified two divisions, which is the General Trial Court and the Peacemaking Division. But you also have the chief judge of the trial court, who is anticipated to take on cases as well, not just sit behind a desk. So you've got the chief judge, you've got who could potentially do the trial court cases. You've got another judge who would be assigned to peacemaking. Right. And so there's the potential that we were talking about having an administrative judge as well to handle the tribal hearing bodies matters. So you could, but I think it would make it tight if we're going to transition to the administrative. It's kind of hard to tell at this juncture. So you'd have the chief judge and then three instead of four or two instead of four, plus the chief judge.
Because the chief judge would still be hearing cases also. I mean, that's why I'm...
That's the intent.
I would like to see go down to two, and if administration does come, that's when we can actually add one later. But I think a lot has to happen before we're going to go down the path of the administration, because... with duplicating services that I won't mention right now.
Can you make a motion to that effect? I mean, this is all last minute anyways. I don't know that there's been a lot of
sure.
time to have any kind of debate around this. So we can have the debate now, have the discussion now, get all the information now. Any other time, we take this to a work meeting, but that's apparently yeah. not going to happen.
I'll make a motion to support the decision to post two trial judge positions for the 2014 general election and communicate that this decision to the election board. Begin the process to hire a part-time family court judge and accompany support staff. And finally, direct the update be included in the July semi-annual GTC meeting report.
Support.
We have a motion. We have support. Joanne, and then Vince will have a question. Joanne, this is a late, you know, I absolutely feel like I haven't had a chance to study this. I just want to make sure we're not making something that, making a motion that could violate what GTC did when they accepted the judiciary. Could you read that motion again?
Mr. Chairman, the motion is to support the decision to post two trial judge positions for the 2014 general election and communicate this decision to the election board. Begin the process to hire a part-time family court judge and accompanying support staff. And finally, direct this update be included in the July semiannual GTC meeting report.
If you remove two, it's going against what GTC approved.
I think so.
Yes.
Yeah. It sounds very much like the motion does not conform to the judiciary law itself and would be out of order. The law requires the election of a certain number of positions to remove those positions and turn them into appointed positions and put them into a different arena. The judiciary law identifies how many are elected positions.
What is that number that the law...
Based on what? What are you basing that on?
The language within the judiciary law itself that identifies how many judges will be elected.
Well, then we'd have to go back to number four then, because that's what we had in there originally, if right. you want to do that.
Right.
I disagree. It will be brought up on the floor of the GTC, and it could be brought up there also. I mean, but this is just something...
Mr. Chairman, can we move this to a work meeting? You know, obviously we have work meetings every other mm-hmm. week, twice a month.
Vince?
And this hasn't been vetted by the full committee.
I agree, but I'm worried about the timelines.
I'm not worried about the timelines.
Vince?
There's other factors that are more important than a timeline right now.
Melinda?
I would just suggest that we move it to a special meeting then on Friday or Thursday afternoon.
Otherwise, Patty's suggesting that we recess and bring it back.
No, I don't think. I don't want last-minute pressure decisions. I really don't.
I think.
Why does this yeah. decide now, then?
Here's
this
where
is
we're
a last-minute pressure decision.
This is a very
decision.
Important
last minute.
Thing we're doing. We,
today
we have
or
a,
Friday.
Let me speak, please.
Sorry.
We have a very important issue here. We have a family court judge who is being overwhelmed with work. That's my understanding. He's not going to be able to deliver the service. Expect expected of him. You might, you know, we're not giving the quality service if we can't handle them in the cases that are coming. So it's a very important issue, but we've got to do it right. Can we somehow defer this? How soon do we have to make this decision?
My understanding is that the 10-day notice deadline for the election board to get this into the mail is April 2nd, which is next week, Wednesday. Meaning, and then they still need the 5 days to actually go to print or send their stuff to print. So they need a decision, you know, probably, I could probably ask them till tomorrow, but it needs to get to printing so that it can get in the mail by the 2nd.
Could we recess this issue and come back this afternoon, 3 o'clock? So we can get some. I don't know, but we've got to get.
It's going to change in an hour.
We can do some research on it. It'll give us time to thoroughly, or the best we can, analyze this. This is coming at us pretty fast. We don't want to violate what General Tribal Council wants us to do, but we have a very important issue about a judge with a workload.
Right. Well, the other option is to actually just budget for and hire another family court judge. And what we were attempting to do was abide by the budget guidelines that came out, which said no new positions for FY15. So if that, you know, if that's something that the committee is willing to consider, then that's an option that we can put back on the table.
Melinda.
And that's what cost containment was, too, and that's why we're suggesting that the dollars come out, because we already have it budgeted. Appeals Commission budget, Judiciary budget, Transition budget are all worked on by Finance. I mean, we included them in this team, and that's where we went and bounced this idea off of the team members, and so we apologize for the lateness of it, but...
Well, it was my understanding that earlier on the agenda, we had a review committee to look at all new hires or even to fill vacancies. There's a whole review requirement now with cost containment that I think the whole committee was in support of, and I think this would have to fall under that same requirement.
And that's fine. If you guys want us to go through that process, we can.
At a minimum, yes.
Melinda, how much of an emergency is this with the family court judge? I understand it to be vital. The services to our children and how they are addressed at our family court. You know, we created that family court because we wanted the best possible court.
Right, and we told, and we asked, I think the committee asked at the onset to say we wanted a report that indicated what was happening in the family court, how it was progressing. The judge did provide the 6-month report and said he's inundated. They're running court 5 days a week. They've heard over 360 cases in the first 6 months. They have not received Milwaukee cases yet. And they're expected to take on any child welfare cases as soon as the children's code is coming up for adoption. And I know that any child welfare is pushing those issues. So that's a whole nother caseload. And so when asked, the family court judge was asked about whether or not they would be able to sustain that kind of caseload. And he said, frankly, a lot of things would be denied if he decides that he wants to get sick or if he decides that he's going to go on vacation. Then the caseload will be backed up again. So from our perspective, that's one of the considerations when we discovered that through the transition resolution and the number of judges that were required through the judiciary law, we were contemplating bringing one of those positions to a family court judge. And then Judge Collins indicated that, well, if we bring on another judge and we don't have the staff to manage that caseload, then there's no point in bringing on another judge. So
I don't know, and I don't know where my motion's out of order because we still have 2 trial judge positions. We're right. Covering that.
But the law says elected.
Yeah, they would be elected.
But not the family court. The family court would be elected because it's not necessarily a tribal member. We've left that open because the family court has different specific requirements for qualifications.
But it was also a GTC directive to hire a family court judge, one. But if his load is overloaded, it's going to be proof that he had to have 2. And we're not going to be able to put another elected person in that spot because then you're going to go back right to square one where we were that got us to a GTC meeting. All I'm trying to do is to save the tribe money by eliminating a trial judge, extra trial judge, to make up for that, to hire this other person is what I'm trying to
do. And can you do that through emergency amendments to the judiciary? We're emergency amending.
The law only states that you have to have two trial judges. I would
like at 1:30. We need to do this right because we don't want to violate General Tribal Council directives. There's questions here. I would like for us to have a work meeting at 1:30. Whoever wants to attend with the law office and LOC staff and LOC, whoever wants to attend, and then recess until 3 o'clock so we can make a more educated, informed decision.
I think it's a recess and it's still a continuation. I don't think it's necessarily an option whether we attend or not. I think it's a duly called meeting and we just continue it. Mm-hmm. And then we still got to make a decision afterwards. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I agree with you, Chairman. Yeah, we need to discuss it more.
I asked to table this so we can consider it in a better form, but that wasn't a consideration. You still just want to push it through.
No, we don't
want the conversation happened before now.
We don't want to push it through. We want to make an informed decision.
Exactly.
And it's timely. We have to get it done within the next day or so. So I think the most...
I think there's a broader picture that could help provide some additional information in regards to this. When the business committee adopted the resolution and all of those positions that were on your agenda, vacancies were pushed back to go through this analysis, there were multiple positions regarding child support that were going to be brought on because of the transfers that were going to be occurring in the future. At that time, the business committee identified that we need to look at the entire concept of transferring those cases and the speed in which they're being transferred to Oneida, our ability to ramp up and be able to handle that. Part of the child support budget is grant funded. Part of it is in-kind services. It could very well be that some of those funds that are being made available to child support can be used to fund a new position within the family court, within the budget as a whole. Instead of bringing on additional child support personnel, we bring on additional family court judicial personnel and utilize some of those funds for that particular purpose. So I think getting an answer to those types of questions would be helpful, as well as looking at how quickly we're transferring cases to the family court from the outside jurisdictions. If we're not able to handle it and we're not speaking across the spectrums as understanding the impact, then we really need to step back and look at exactly what we're doing. We're only looking at one portion of it right now. There is a second portion. It's in the child support agency itself.
And we need all this done by tomorrow, my understanding.
I don't mind recessing.
Yeah.
Until 1:30, we can get you all the documents, the judiciary law, the family court law, the adapting resolutions, all that information, because then you can see for yourself what the impacts will be, and Joanne will be here, legislative reference office will be here, finance will be here, so I assume finance will be here.
So could we make a motion to recess on this item?
We have a motion on the floor, yeah.
Okay, what is the motion?
The motion was that we post for two trial court judges.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor, wait, hold on.
Do you want to withdraw the motion?
I'm going to say it's out of order because we have some legal questions as to how it complies with General Tribal Council. So you just want to withdraw it?
I'll withdraw because we're coming back this afternoon, but the main intent is to save the tribe money and to work our way into a third judge if possibly, if it's needed later on with administration changes. We have duplicating services now. I mean, just FYI.
I agree, David, but we...
Why can't they assist with the current judges that are on the bench?
Well... Not the duplicate services.
motion to recess until 3 p.m.
Okay, we have a motion to recess until 3 o'clock by Patty Heff. Do we have a second?
Brandon Stevens.
Second by Brandon Stevens. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained?
Abstain.
Motion carries. Thank you. One abstention, Tina Danforth. Melinda, are you guys going to meet earlier than that? I'd like to be included in that.
What time do you want us to meet?
The recess until 3, but until then, whoever wants to attend will.
At
1:30, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, I put it on your. Motion to return to session at 3:14 p.m.
Mr. Chairman, there's
okay.
Mr. Chairman, there's a new resolution that was just handed out to us within the last 5 minutes. I haven't had time to thoroughly review it. The last resolve talks about.
Could we vote on the motion and then move into that?
Okay. I don't know what the motion is.
To return
I thought we
to
just
okay.
Came back to the last item on the agenda, which was an add-on.
Okay. We're going to vote on coming out of recess. All those in favor of coming out of recess, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries. Now we have before us here a resolution entitled Adoption of Emergency Amendments of the Judiciary Law Transition Plan. Transition plan.
Mr. Chairman, the resolution that's in front of us was handed out within the last 5 minutes. I have questions about the second and third resolution. First of all, I'm not on board with this because I think it's piecemeal, and I think it's last minute, and I think it's a pressure decision that's being put in front of the business committee. And it has ramifications to the community, it has ramifications to General Tribal Council's directive. And with that, to the first resolve, it says that the business committee amends on an emergency basis under the Legislative Procedures Act the election of two trial court judges for a 3-year term and reduces the number to a single position for election in the 2014 general election. Well, this, I don't think we have the ability at this level to make this kind of a change. I don't think we have the authority to overstep what General Tribal Council is expecting of us as the delegated body to exercise and implement General Tribal Council directives. The other item, Mr. Chairman, I'll wait for you to be done because I want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm not going anywhere, even though I'd like to. The next resolve says, now therefore be resolved that the intent of this action is to make funding available for an additional family court judge to be engaged in 2015. Well, we're currently kicking off the 2015 budget consideration for the fall for General Tribal Council. And so I don't know that we need to do all this to make funding available for fiscal year 2015. So I'm not sure that's really the intent here, because I also have questions about the previous adoption of the judiciary law that says
Be it further resolved that beginning with fiscal year 2014 budget, the expenses associated with implementation and maintenance of the judiciary shall be included in the tribe's annual budget. So that goes back to the first resolve that we did not budget accordingly. And the second resolve says we're going to budget for any needs for the family, an additional family court judge to be engaged in 2015. Therefore, they should not be on board until 2015. And if you go to the last, therefore be it resolved that the business committee shall prepare amendments to be presented to General Tribal Council, which shall allow the business committee to set by resolution the number of judicial officers in the trial and appellate branches of the judiciary in order to best meet the caseload while best managing limited tribal funds. Well, it can't be limited if we haven't done the 2015 budget yet. And based on what? What is this last resolve based on? I did quote to you that 2014 budget has been set and allocated. I also specified that the 2015 budget is being kicked off and implemented. The process is early into the process, so there is time to do that. And so the other thing is I'm just not comfortable with trying to put together a lot of amendments both to the budget and both to the election process and to serve what's being described to us in a report as a judge being overwhelmed with a caseload. When I look at the caseload report, September there were two cases heard, October 55, November 31, December 42, January 54, February 29. So just last month there were only 29 cases. So I'm hearing that the judge is overwhelmed. I'm not trying to challenge what he's saying. I'm just trying to get a grasp of the actual report that's in front of us, because he also says he has a concern that the new judiciary will have four full-time trial court judges pursuant to OCL 151-5-1 unless the number of filings significantly increases. The four full-time trial court judges may not have much of a workload. What is that based on? What premise does he make that basis that the appellate side of the judiciary needs less judges? I can't support something that's made without any quantifiable information like numbers. It's just really hard for me to make these kinds of decisions based on this kind of information. So I'm going to just stop right there, because I think we did not allow enough time to vet this issue. And I know there's an election upon us. Everybody knows that. And I do want to do what's in the best interest of the tribe, but piecemeal is not in the best interest of the tribe. And I do appreciate the resolution. I know that, you know, there's been a lot of things talked about just since 11 o'clock today. And I don't like these kind of pressure decisions being made, and that there's an expectation that I'm making an informed decision based on just those perimeter things. There's probably more things that need to be considered. So that's it.
Joanne.
Tina's correct. There's a lot of things that are a domino effect in this resolution. Based on the discussion that occurred in the work session by the business committee, the resolution was drafted to try to address those issues that were raised. That we do have a budget for 2015 that we can't add any more to, and as a matter of fact, we're looking at trying to meet the budget. I think the comments were that we're $30 million overestimated on the 2015 budget. We have to find those reductions already. That the tribe is currently acting under cost containment resolution, and the discussion of the business committee over the last month has identified that that's likely to continue to occur in the future. So the difficulty presented here is that we can't logically add another employee into the family court. We have to take one away, even Stevens. We can't add it into the current fiscal year budget, add it into plan for it to be in 2015. But We had one item that was facing us that was making all of this planning much more difficult, and that is the caucus. So the initial resolve reduces the number of judges that are presented at the caucus to allow the business committee an opportunity to bring the subject to the General Tribal Council. At the General Tribal Council meeting, if it's determined that they want four judges and they would like to add another trial court judge, then obviously in a very short time period between July and September, we have to make some modifications to the budget. They've shown us what they wanted. If they determine that, yes, reducing the number of trial court judges from four to three, increasing the family court judge from two to one, from one to two, then those funds are already captured in the trial court judges' salaries that are proposed for 2015 when they're brought on board. So it's simply moving those funds from one allocation within the budget to another one as it's presented to the General Tribal Council. Based on the discussion that was presented to the business committee in this intervening period, the identification that the caucus is the primary conflict in trying to figure out how to address this matter and still, you know, not increase the number of employees by one, this was a proposal that was brought forward. So the resolution simply is intended to allow the General Tribal Council an opportunity to make a decision. And if they say no, a special election can be held for that trial court vacant position, that three-year position. If they say yes, then the position hasn't been to caucus, hasn't been elected, and those funds that were allocated for that position in the development of the 2015 budget can now be allocated to the family court position.
Mr. Chairman.
Dina.
Thanks, Joanne, for your legal opinion and your considerations. I do appreciate the resolution. I know it was late, and you explained it was based on a work meeting that we had an hour ago or within the hour. And so, you know, I'm just saying that's what it is. That's what I'm asked to address right now. I'm not trying to say, you know, you guys are last minute. I'm just trying to say that it's a lot of pressure to put on somebody to make this kind of a decision with these kind of financial, legal, community impacts. Okay, that's my main concern. And yes, we're in cost containment, and yes, we have a $30 million deficit going into 15, and yes, there's no new employees being allowed in the budget process for 15. That is true. But I think if we have this discussion in July in front of General Tribal Council, they can make a mandate to allow for an additional judge. I'm totally okay with that. But that's the process to utilize, not this process today. I'm trying to do my job as the treasurer, as always, even though I get scrutinized for many other things. And, the resolution is intended to allow GTC to decide. But that's, like, after the fact. So that's somewhat concerning. And, yeah, I know there's a caucus, and we talked about that today at length, but I also talked about why not having a special election after July, after GTC makes its decision, and then we follow that directive. There's some minor things that are in the transition plan and transition resolution, but it also goes back to it needed to be in this year's budget. Yes, we can make modifications to a transition plan, which maybe be a wrong qualification or something else. Yes, we can do that, but there was a distinct resolve around funding, and the distinct resolve around funding was that this be put in the 2014 budget. That's my job to adhere to that. I think that's all of our job to adhere to that. And again, going into 15th, there's still time to plan. There's still time to put this in front of General Tribal Council in the July meeting. And again, we have many mandates that General Tribal has for the community and the organization and its members. And we honor those, and we will honor those through the budget process. And if it becomes the reality in July, then we honor that.
Committee? Melinda.
I guess, you know, just from the transitionary team perspective, again, you know, when we were going through this process and the election board asked us to go ahead and issue them a memo about how many positions, what kind of positions, qualifications, and all of that, we went and we looked at the judiciary law again and the adopting resolution. And again, coupled with the report that came from Judge Collins saying that the family court was being overloaded, that they felt that there was going to be a need for an additional judge taking on the Milwaukee cases, taking on potentially the Indian child welfare cases in the future as well. And we felt that we couldn't ignore it. We felt that, yeah, I meant the judiciary law stands and has been approved by the General Tribal Council with 9 judges to be elected in July. And if the committee feels that, you know, we just need to move forward with what's in the law currently, then let's do that. But I think that we can't ignore that the family court is telling us right now that we're being over inundated with cases. Milwaukee's on hold right now. That should be coming forward soon, along with Indian child welfare cases. We're reporting from the LLC perspective, too, that the LLC is looking at the children's code as well. So some of the obligations are there. So when we talk about, budgeting for fiscal year 15, definitely, of course. I mean, that's what we're planning on, you know, with the family court. I think that, you know, we're telling you right now that the judge is saying we need another judge, either part-time or full-time, but that they also need the support staff and having the conversation, and I don't believe I mentioned this earlier, but I'm just talking a little bit through our conversations on the transition plan with the administrator. The administrator indicated that they're trying to cross-train the clerks, too, so that there's a possibility that somebody would be able to come over and help with the family court if needed, instead of maybe hiring a position. So, again, looking at options of LTEs and so forth and such, of course, with the new body coming on. So from my perspective, I thought that we were being responsible in the manner that we were saying, hey, there's an issue in family court. And as you can see from the emails and stuff like that, you know, we got the six-month family court report on Friday and had prior conversations. And I did mention that to the business committee a couple of meetings ago, that the family court was experiencing these issues and that we'd be looking at them. And unfortunately, it has come down to this. It is the election board wants to know how many positions that we need to post. They need to know that soon. We need to have those elections. The judiciary is supposed to open its doors on November 1st of this coming year, which we also have a training plan developed for them, too. So any pushback from the elections, again, will result in the judiciary not opening its doors on time. So, yes, I realize that it is pressure. I recognize that it is a fiscal impact. I recognize that it is a community impact, but we need to make a decision. And if the decision is just to stay with the judiciary, we'll do that. We'll post for 9 positions elected, and then we'll deal with the family court at a later time. So, but at this point, you know, the team, from my perspective, did come up with alternatives, and this is one of those alternatives. And so we are trying not to be irresponsible.
I can appreciate the pressure here. There is a lot of pressure, but you know what? Sometimes we have to do that. And it's we're trying to be fiscally frugal, thinking about down the line what's the needs of the incoming judiciary and what's the needs of our family court. And sometimes there's a trade-off there. Or we could promise, you know, we're not going to make no moves over here, and address the family court later. I think it's our job to address this very important issue about, we said we'd serve our children. We took that jurisdiction, and now we need to serve our children and practice that jurisdiction. And this is the more fiscally responsible way to do it, considering our current caseloads. And it ain't easy, and it's pressure-filled, and but we still got to do it, I believe.
And not only, I mean, you're looking at the new filings when you're talking about the numbers that the treasurer had referenced, you know, September 56, October 58, those are new filings. So in that same six-month period, there were 8 general trial court cases that were filed as a result of 15 hearings and 7 deliberations. There was 23 tribal debt cases that were filed in that six-month timelines, resulting in 0 hearings, but there have been 103 garnishments and also resulting in 10 hearings as well. So I mean, there's more to the family court than just child support cases. There's also divorces and marriages and et cetera, et cetera.
Family court includes those cases, then we're in a lot of trouble.
No. They're supposed to be engaging in those.
What if it...
I
Good afternoon. In the trial court, all the cases that you listed, the garnishment, tribal debt, are in the trial court. Rob Collins hears nothing but child support, period. That's it. You're at a dilemma of where to get your money, how you're going to handle things, where it's all coming from. I am in agreement that GTC made a ruling that should stand because, as you well know, if GTC says whatever they say, it's law, and we have to uphold that law. Right now, I was asked by Councilman Jordan, how many cases do they have at the trial level? And my answer was, they're the same as always. It doesn't fluctuate that much as it's always been. On the appellate side, it does fluctuate because a lot of our cases come up from the personnel, other lower hearing bodies. The court has never functioned as a court because this particular body has never taken the initiative. At one time, point in time, I believe it was back in 07 or somewhere thereabouts, there was a resolution like you're faced right now to get rid of all the lower hearing bodies and take all those cases that are to be heard by all those lower hearing bodies and put them into the court, which is what, if I must remind all of you, is what you have a court for. We have to know all those laws. We have to know all the real estate laws, all environmental laws. We have to know all those laws. Because guess what? Those original hearing bodies hear those incoming cases, and then it comes up to the appellate court. And then we have to make the determination. And I don't have the stats right now for you, but I can get them, of how many cases we overturn because your lower hearing bodies don't know the law. But you're faced right now with paying out stipends, paying out positions, paying out, paying out, paying out, and you're doing double the work because you're paying a court to do the business that a court is supposed to do, which is what we have done. But you've got all these lower hearing bodies collecting all these monies that there is no need for them. You've got duplication upon, you've got six lower hearing bodies. And I never could quite understand how each one of those got put into positions. And I'm sure somewhere it was political and everybody set up their own little dynasties throughout the tribe. But then why have a court? You have the answers, you know, whether you choose to deal with it and make the appropriate actions that need to happen, you wouldn't have to be sitting here worried about how you're going to make ends meet. So I have a real problem when it comes to, right now, you're looking at breaking the law that GTC put in place. I don't like the law. Never did. I never liked the law because I didn't feel that any one of you have ever come into that courtroom and shadowed any one of us to know what we ever did, with the exception. Thank you. Jerry was here. He was an exception. Kathy Hughes was here. She was an exception. Kathy now knows firsthand what we do. She didn't know that when she sat where you sat. Nobody has ever said, hey, what do you think about these lower hearing bodies? Do you think, or give me some stats on how many hearings you people overturn that come up from the lower hearing bodies? That would save us money, right? I mean, those are simple things. Those are business things that people such as yourself should be taking a nice long look at. So now here you sit in the 11th hour tonight, deciding whether you're going to move on this resolution that's going to, maybe the word is circumvent the GTC's law. But if it comes into a court of law, that's not circumventing, that's breaking the law. So that's on your plate. And I just wanted you to know right now that's the only thing that Rob deals with is the child support. We haven't had that many divorces, marriages. Marriages right now are being handled by the judicial officers that will no longer be there, and because they're being asked to do that service. And I think he had one or two divorces, if I'm not mistaken. So do I think that he should have been given another judge? Yeah, I do. Because right now, if he becomes ill, if he becomes in a car accident, I then am faced to, what are we going to do in the court today? Rob is not here to hear any family court cases. What are we going to do? Stop the court? Because we have this judiciary pending? Because we have all these internal problems? No, we're not going to stop the court. Those people are our people, and they have every right to be processed out like anybody else. So, do we have a contingency plan? Yes, we do. And we will invoke that if something should happen to Rob. And then I may be sitting here saying, Winnie, you're relieved of your duties. And that's okay. Because my first obligation is to the court and to our people. And I hope I never forget that. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Joanne, if we pass this resolution, would we be breaking the law? Because I understand that we're doing it under the Legislative Procedures Act.
There are two authorizations to the business committee. One is within the transition resolution that allows modifications to be made to the transition plan in order to meet the needs that are identified as you go forward through it. The other is the Legislative Procedures Act recognizes that the business committee, which is responsible for the day-to-day governing actions of this tribe, sees and hears things that need immediate action. The General Tribal Council cannot take immediate action. They don't have the ability to do so, given the 10-day notice policy, scheduling, all the other things that go along with it. As a result, it's within the business committee's authority to take actions to amend laws that were adopted by the General Tribal Council and bring it back to that body in a timely manner for them to act on it in a permanent fashion. The question is, can the business committee take an action that doesn't allow a reversal back to the status quo in the event the General Tribal Council says no? I don't believe that's true, but I also don't think that this is one of those actions. This action doesn't delete a judicial position. It simply defers that election until such time as the General Tribal Council has an opportunity to review and to take a decision. If they choose to maintain what they've already adopted in January of 2013, then you'll hold that special election, which occurs in the odd years, the non-triennial election periods, and that position will be filled. So you'll still be carrying out the directives of the GTC. So from my review of the laws available that delegate authority to the business committee, I believe you're acting within the scope of your authority delegated by both the transition resolution and the Legislative Procedures Act.
Any other BC members want to speak on this issue?
Nope.
Okay, I guess we're ready to vote then. Does someone want to make a motion for the adoption of an emergency amendment to the judiciary law/transition plan?
I thought there was one clarification to the first
I thought I overheard a conversation. So
there are some amendments. The title right now, as typed, just says amendments to the judiciary law. But you previously today had another resolution that had the same title because we were just amending the qualifications. So I'd like to amend the title to say amendments to the judiciary law transition plan, just so that you can keep the two separated and not get confused.
You caught it.
There is a typo at line 29. There needs to be a space between GTC and 01. On the back page, on the second page, at the top, it says Resolution GTC, and that should actually say Resolution BC on it.
Which line?
At the top in the header, okay. On the second page.
It should say
BC, Resolution.
Correct the first time.
And then I, sitting here listening, I had thoughts about amending the second, therefore be it resolved, but that would be up to the committee. That perhaps it should include language, because I know that's what Councilwoman Danforth had talked about before, that this was an attempt to follow the directive that there be no new hires in fiscal year 2015. That suggested added language, but that's up to you.
Melinda?
It doesn't matter to me. I think there's still the intent. It's the intent to try to make additional funding available in fiscal year 15 for an additional judge in the family court. So,
okay, does someone want to make the motion for the adoption of emergency amendments to the judiciary law transition plan?
I just had a question on the now, therefore, be it resolved. So that's the first one. The business committee amends on an emergency basis under the Legislative Procedures Act that the election of two trial court judges for a three-year term reduces that to single position. So I know that there was discussion at this level about whether or not it's two or one. So I guess having that debate up here again, because I know we were split an hour ago.
This allows for one.
This right now allows for one. The judiciary plan right now speaks to two of the four positions would be for three-year terms, and this would reduce it to just one position for a three-year term, delaying the posting for that second one.
So it's in accordance with what we kind of agreed on
right
during the work meeting. Okay. Does someone want to make the motion for the adoption?
Yes, I'm asking the committee, so I would ask the committee make the decision to do it. I'm comfortable with it. I'm comfortable with moving forward and asking the General Tribal Council to. I just think it's unfortunate that we have an opinion in the room. You know, no disrespect, Winnie, but you're the Chief Judicial Officer of the appellate body going on record telling the business committee that we're going to go ahead and break the law already when a case hasn't even come forward. And we do have the authority under the adapting resolution of the judiciary law to make modifications to the transition plan, as Joanne had mentioned, as well as emergency authority under the LPA to make modifications to a law that's been adopted by General Tribal Council, and the committee has exercised that ability to do so. I just wanted to put that on the record because I don't want that to be an implication or a political move to force our hand to be scared to do this. And so from my perspective, I think that we're trying to be responsible. I think that when the committee talks about allocating its resources appropriately and looking at funding opportunities or funding initiatives, talking about trying to save the dollar, trying to talk about where the allocation of resources, talking about duplication of services, talking about all of those things, I think it's our responsibility to exercise that duty. So if nobody else wants to make the motion, I'll make the motion to adopt the business committee resolution to emergency adopt to make amendments to the judiciary law and the transition plan, with one acknowledging that one judge on the trial side would be delayed in its election, and that the business committee will make funding available to help fund the family court.
We have a motion by Melinda Danforth. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Brandon Stevens. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please signify by, let's do a hand count, starting with Larry. I'm Larry. Sorry, Patty.
Yes.
No.
Okay, Patty, yes.
No.
David, no.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Motion carries 3-2.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'd like to state that I am opposed to the resolution because the resolution is amending General Tribal Council direction and action. In the resolution that was passed, 1713B, adoption of judiciary law, it says we can make modifications to the transition plan. It does not say we can make modifications to General Tribal Council's directive to create the judiciary. And the resolve before that addresses the financial obligations to put this in the 14 budget. So for the record, I oppose the motion because we do not have the authority to amend General Tribal Council's directive, but we may have the authority to amend a transition plan to follow the directive, but we don't have the directive to change General Tribal Council's directive, and that's for the record.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, I'd just like to say that I disagree with the treasurer's analysis of this. Go ahead. And that the business committee under the Legislative Procedures Act has emergency amendment authority under that law to amend any of the laws of the tribe. And the business committee in the past has exercised that right to do so. And for example, underneath the personnel policies and procedures, the business committee has exercised the right to amend personnel policies and procedures that was adopted by the General Tribal Council. So therefore, I believe that analysis is incorrect, that the business committee has no right to amend General Tribal Council's laws. We're doing so on an emergency basis, and it is the intent of the business committee to move forward to the General Tribal Council to make the emergency amendments permanent. And that although she's reading from the adopting resolution of the Judiciary Act under fiscal year 14, yes, it was a mandate, but the intent here is to place the dollars for the new family court judge in fiscal year 15, which would not impede upon the ability of the business committee or to violate that transition resolution.
Mr. Chairman, I have, for the record also, I have opposed because I strongly was trying to advocate that we wanted two positions held back for delay until we went to the GTC for reconsideration. That's the reason I opposed.
Thank you, David.
Otherwise, you would have supported.
Yes, otherwise I would have supported
you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Are we done with our agenda?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn, Patty Heff.
Second.
Seconded by Melinda Danforth. Discussion? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstain? Motion carries.
Hey, I didn't operate that hard.
Thank you.